So I want to talk to you today about you being chosen. Say, I am chosen. Remember, what movie was that?
Not Star Wars.
That's funny. Now I'm thinking, what are you thinking about right now? Okay. I'm thinking of Toy Story. Remember Toy Story? And the claw came down? I want to talk to you today about the God and Him choosing you. Now listen to me very carefully, because I do not want to be misunderstood, and I actually need to teach you this a little bit. There's a doctrine going around. It's a false doctrine, and the false doctrine is that God chooses some and others. We're talking about salvation. He chooses some and others He doesn't choose. Okay, it comes from it's called Reformed theology, or it's called Calvinism. I'm telling you what it is. It is so clear. That's not what I'm talking about. And the theology is so bad that when you start to dig deep into it, here's what these people believe: that God, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, chooses some, but the eeny, meeny, miny, the theology says that God actually chooses that they are going to go to hell. This is being taught in churches in America, throughout America. It's disguised, you know what, but ultimately in different kind of forms, different kind of, but when you do research in it, that's absolutely what they will believe. They will not deny it. I am not saying that. Amen. I'm not talking about you being chosen to go to heaven. The Bible is very clear. It says, scripture that everybody knows, John 3:16, most everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, listen, we're going to look at two scriptures today that'll bring that out, and I'm not even trying to bring it out. It's throughout the past, the New Testament and the Old Testament. You know what? God has sent His Son to the world that whoever believes in Him. That's your choice. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about you are chosen to lead. Somebody say, I'm chosen to lead. You say, Pastor, who's chosen to lead? Well, let me illustrate. Rebecca, you're chosen to lead. Candace, you're chosen to lead. Shayla, you're chosen to lead. Steve, you're chosen to lead. Pastor Paul, you're chosen to lead. Carlos, you're chosen to lead. Do you understand this? Georgie, you're chosen to lead. Peter, you're chosen. Do you got this? Yeah. Isabel, you got it? See, that's who's chosen to lead. And what I want to do is show you some passages that you would understand. God has chosen you to lead what? To lead your family. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. To lead your school. Amen. To lead your business. Amen. To lead your neighbors. You are chosen. God has chosen you to lead. Matthew, guys, catch this. You don't have this yet. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, starting with 13. I'm reading out New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions, but if you want to read with us word for word, we have it up on the screen. Now, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Oh, that's verse 1. No. Chapter 5. Verse 13. I mean, that's a good verse. Amen. Amen. But that's not the verse I'm looking for. Okay, here we go. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Look at your neighbor and say, you are good for something. Next verse. This is incredible. How many know Jesus was the light of the world? Amen. How many know Jesus is the light of the world? Yes. How many know this is what Jesus says? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Amen. We walk in this false sense of humility. We call it humility, but it's not humility. It's actually a false sense of pride that says, oh, no, I can't. I'm just, you ain't just nothing. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. That is something. Can somebody say amen? And don't argue with me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I almost entitled this sermon, You're the Man. You can retitle it if you want. Next verse. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Next verse. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. One of my favorite verses in the whole New Testament. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. Keep it here. And glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody raise up your hand and say, I've been chosen. You have been chosen. I remember when, just think about this for a minute. We had just came back from the most dynamic summer camp that I've ever been part of. Amen. Listen, we've gone to a lot of different organizations, camps. They've been awesome. The Holy Spirit has used them and moved mightily. And I don't mean to be comparing. I'm just saying that I'm just being honest. I can't think of an organization that does summer camp better than we do summer camp. I just can't. And I'm not a novice. It's not like I don't know about a lot of summer camps, a lot of organizations. I just don't know any camp that does it better on all kinds of different levels. You know what? Not just fun, safe, spiritual. I mean, just the whole package, it is awesome. Yep. Amen. Amen. Who does that? We do that. We do that. I remember when years ago, when Tamara and I were, thank you, sir, when Tamara and I were children's pastors at Pastor Bradford's church, We were asked to lead praise and worship. And we had a lot of kids. We took probably close to 75 kids up to camp. And when we did worship in kids' church, I just tell them, hey, you know what? Make your altar where you stand. Pastor Bradford used to always say that. Make your altar where you stand. And we would, and I would teach kids. I would say, hey, listen, would call someone up, you know what, somebody who knew how to worship. And I'd call someone up and would worship. And what am I doing? I'm letting the kids see somebody who's worshiping God. And Paul says, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. And we taught kids, you know what, to worship God. Well, when we took 75 kids up, all our kids knew how to worship God. And we had, gosh, close to 400 kids at this camp. And I was selected to lead worship. Well, so what did you do? I just led worship. And we had 75 kids. Well, all these other kids, and I didn't know this, we're leading worship, and kids are on their face and raising their hands and just being expressive. How many know kids can be expressive about things of God? But see, we had this mentality in our minds that, you know what, kids can worship awesome. That was the leadership that we went into this. And we taught our kids that. Then they get mixed with these other 300 and something kids. And in a real short period of time, I mean, it was amazing. We had 400 kids on their face before God. Wow. Amen. I mean, it was amazing. And we'd do fast songs, you know what? And I mean, just jumping and shouting. But then we'd go into, because here's what they had experienced. They could get the kids pumped up to do, like, you know what, some crazy song. But when it went into worship, there wasn't very many kids who would worship God. And I taught these kids, and I'd say this. I'd say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get crazy before Jesus, and then we're going to get on our face before Jesus. Amen. And what would they do? They'd get crazy before Jesus, and then they'd get on their face before Jesus. Well, the four-square district supervisor was there, because he was, that's, you know what I mean, big deal. And Tamara and I didn't think anything of it. We just thought, this is what you do. You just tell kids, you know, kids are awesome because they'll follow directions, amen? And they have a tenderness for God. Well, that combination is a wonderful thing. And so, boom, within almost the first session, they were on their face before God. But definitely by the second or third session, I mean, they would just, we got crazy for Jesus, and then they'd be on their face. Well, I remember the district supervisor and some of the leaders in the four square came up to me, and they were like, we never seen this before. And I was like, well, why not? And I didn't say that, but that was what I was thinking. What's my point in telling you this illustration, this story? My point is only to say this. Who led that? I did. Listen to me. These same people who are tripping out that we could lead 400 kids and get them on their face before God, you know what? If they came to Monrovia and they went to get a popsicle and they were looking to get a popsicle and they said, oh, there's that Albertsons. I'm going to go in to get a popsicle, fudgesicle at Albertsons. They went in and they'd go to the frozen food and get a fudge bar and then come to the line. Guess who they'd see in that line? Guess who I'd say, did you find everything okay? And they'd look at me and go, wow, you look like that worship leader at kids camp, man. Why did I tell you that? Because, see, I'm called to lead. Can I tell you that? Listen, you're called to lead. What are you called to lead? I'm not sure. You're called to lead your family. You're called to lead people around you. Here's what you're called. Guys, keep that passage up there. Here's what you're called. You're called to to let your good works be seen before men, that people would glorify God and say, oh my goodness. See, listen, you can lead people to Jesus. Amen. And you can lead people that know Jesus to have a better relationship with Jesus. Somebody say, I am chosen. And God chose you. See, you're the one who's chose to minister to your family. You're the one that God chose to minister to your work. You're the one that God chose to lead your wife and lead your kids. You're the one. God chose you. God chose you. Three reasons why you can't be a leader. Number one, your past. Number one, your past. Now, obviously, these are lies thrown to us by Satan, who doesn't want you to lead. Number one, your past. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Who did God choose? God chose him. God chose the Apostle Paul to minister. Well, God's chosen you to minister, be minister too. We're all ministers. We've all been given, the Bible says, the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile, you know, here's your job. Joe, meet my friend Jesus. Jesus, meet Joe. That is your job. Next verse. Although I was formerly a blasphemer. Can I see a hand in the room somewhere? Okay. You know what? A what?
Persecutor.
Wow. Have you ever been antagonistic towards the things of Christ? To the things of God? And a insolent man. You know what insolent means? Insolent means you're rude and disrespectful to people in authority. But. But I have turned mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Who has received mercy? Every single one of us have received mercy. See, what's my point? My point is, I don't care about your past. Your past doesn't make any difference to God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says God doesn't even remember your past. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. You know who wrote that? The Apostle Paul, who persecuted the church, who held the coats for the men when they stoned Timothy. Stephen. Amen. See, well, here's what I'm saying. Your past is irrelevant. You look at the Bible. And if the Bible says God isn't looking for the intelligent, the wise. You know, he didn't go when Jesus is looking for those who he's going to use mightily in a mighty way. He doesn't go to the University of Jerusalem. He doesn't go and try to figure out who are the rabbis here. He doesn't go to the spiritual elitist. He doesn't go to those people. You know where he goes? You know where he is? He's on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. That's where he's looking for his people. That's where he's looking. Yeah, but look at, and I'm telling you what, some of these guys, their past was awful. You can go on and on and on. You know what? Look at David and look at Peter and look at the woman who's, the Bible says, what she did, that any time the gospel is preached, we're going to talk about this lady. Yes. Prostitute. See, your past is irrelevant to God. Can I tell you why your past is irrelevant to God? Your past is irrelevant to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen? So if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, it doesn't make any difference what you've done. All your past is an opportunity to testify of the goodness of God. Is that not true? Amen. Why can't you lead? Satan would tell you because you're past. He's a liar. Satan would tell you because of your lack of ability. Because of your lack of ability. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Look what it says. And Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." See, how many know we can come up with a lot of excuses why, listen, we can't? Look at this next verse. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth?" You know, you think God doesn't know your flaws? It's like, I didn't, you know, like he's telling Moses, "Oh, Moses, I didn't know that. You know, thanks for telling me. I thought you were eloquent in speech." I mean, he knows that. He knows what's going on. He knows you got floppy ears. He knows your nose is too big. He knows you can't read. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. He knows. Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, and the blind? Have I, the Lord? Next verse, look at this. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Next verse. But he said, O Lord. Oh, do you notice this? He's arguing with God. Look at your neighbor, say, don't argue with God. Listen, you can resist God if you want to. You can make it and say, I don't care. I'm not breaking up with him. I'm not breaking up with her. I'm not going to give that money. I'm going to keep my attitude. I do not want to sacrifice my Saturdays to serve. I will not. I'm so good, but I'm okay. I'm okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, I'm okay. Look at my Bible. Hallelujah. Look, I even got yellow in it. Hello? Yeah. See, you can resist God. He's arguing with God. But he said, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. I wanted to get somebody else to do it. The reason why the sermon title is titled God Choose You is because I want you to understand God has chosen you. You are the one. And it doesn't make any difference of your past. It doesn't make any difference your inability. God is smarter than you. He says, I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. You are the one who's to do it. You are the one who's to minister to your family. You are the one who's supposed to lead in the church. You're the one who's supposed to, you know what, be part of making the church look nice and teaching the kids. This is our responsibility. It's our responsibility. Oh, no. Let's just do this. Let's just get the pastor to do everything. Amen? Wait right here. I got to do the sound. Oh, wait. Let me do the sound. Oh, wait over here. Oh, I got to empty the trash. Oh, got to fill the, you know, oh, what else I got to do? Oh, let me do the cameras. Oh, where's the pastor go? Where did he go? Ooh, let me straighten up the chairs. Let me preach. Oh, yeah, I don't know what to say because I've been too busy doing everything else. Look. We just need to do what God has called us to do. You step up. It's not up to me. I'm doing what God has called me to do. You do what God has called you to do. See, the Bible says the church grows as each part does its share. And there's people in the body of Christ and they think, oh, but I'm not, I can't, my past, you know, I can't, because Fruffy needs to be combed out today. Listen, trust me, when you sit before God, he ain't going to ask you about how Fruffy looks. Can you say amen? He's just not. I'm not saying that combing out your dog is evil. I'm saying if you keep your life and it's combing Fruffy, and you know what? And making the house look nice. And you know what? At some point in God says to Israel, you know what? Your houses look really nice. But my house looks a mess. Amen? Are you learning something today? Let's see if we're done. We're not done here. Next verse. Oh, this is so good. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I'm just saying. See, God is, it's not okay with God that Moses is saying, I don't want to do this. It's not okay. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? How many know when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know what's going on. He's giving you something to think about. I know that he can speak well, and look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Can I tell you what? God so wants you to be used that he will come up with a solution to your excuse. He is. Yeah, now listen, if Moses wants to come through Gripit, he can. And so can you. So can you. When we had little kids, Shayla was little, Tyler was little, Megan was really little, and it was really hard for us to get to prayer. We pray, just so you know, we pray every Sunday, 7:30 in the morning. Here, I encourage every single one of you to be here. Yeah. Who? You! You the man! Amen. Well, who's it up to pray? I mean, in the Bible, I said, my house should be called a house of prayer. No. That's what Paul does. That's what Carlos does. You know what? That's what Georgie does. That's what Peter does. That's what Isabel does. No! Wrong. No, that's not the deal. This is our church. See, we all do this all day long. No. Nope. When the kids were little, we had a hard time. How many know, man, it's some work getting kids. It's like you're going camping every week. Every day you're going camping. Let's get all the stuff, you know what I mean? We're going camping. But you're not going camping. You're just going to, you know, whatever. So it's a whole bunch of work. So, you know what? Well, we got grandparents. Here what we're going to do. Every Saturday, Shayla can tell you. Megan can tell you. You know what? Tyler can tell you. You know what? After I'd be doing stuff here, I'd pick up the kids from the house and I'd drive them to San Gabriel. Why? Because that's where Granny and Grandpa live. That's what am I going to do? I'm going to drop them off. Amen. Praise God. Here you go. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to drop them off. Why? Because now I don't have to go camping. Because I can't do that. See what I'm saying? There is a solution. Stop coming up with the excuse. You come up with an excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. At some point in time, read your Bible. You know, the Bible said that God finally said to the Israelites, after 10 times of testing, God said, okay, fine, you'll die in the desert. You won't go into the promised land. Be careful as you keep on coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse because at some point God will say, enough. Enough. You don't want to walk. Listen, serving God is a blessing. Giving to God is a blessing. His commandments are not burdensome. Oh my goodness, we've got to have a paradigm shift in our minds, amen? God is not against you. God is for you. God is trying to get you. The Bible says if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. God is trying to get blessings to you, not take some from you. But if you keep on with an excuse at some point in time, God is trying. And it's interesting. I love this passage of scripture because if you read it, you're going to find, you know what, the first two or three times he's using Aaron. But after a while, you know what, Moses isn't even using Aaron anymore. Moses is speaking directly to Pharaoh. Amen. Amen. See, God wants to use you. But he's got to get through, he's got to get past your mind. You know why you think you're so unable to do it? Because you know you like nobody else knows you. For years and years and years and years, I lost my keys, 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 I lost my keys. And I started to have a reputation of losing keys. You know, it took over 10 years of me. And I would have to say, you know what? I don't lose my keys. Because people would say, oh, he loses his keys. He loses his keys. Because I had. But then I stopped losing my keys. But it took a long time for people to recognize I stopped losing my keys. And I just said, no, I don't lose my keys. See, I got them right here. But see, in our minds, we start to think this. So we had to take some kids home on Friday night. We took them home because we had two kids that had to be at something Saturday. I thank God for those parents who got them up, you know, got them to camp anyway, because they experienced almost the whole camp. Real smart. So, and we were glad to take them home, so I took them home. When I took them home, and I also took my wife's keys home. My wife called me yesterday. She said, Drew, we have an SOS. I said, what's the SOS? She said, I know where my keys are. And I said, really? And I thought, okay. So I'm going to look in my bag. I looked in my bag, and guess whose keys I found? Her keys. And guess what I said? Here's what I said. I said, you know what? Somehow your keys got in my bag. Okay. Oh, somehow. Okay. Here's the thing. Listen to this. Here's the thing. So I'm driving. You know what? So I get dressed real quick. I start going back up the mountain because I got her keys. She's driving kids back. You know what I mean? So I head up the mountain as soon as I can. But here's the thing. See, Satan just constantly, because he knows, you know, he accuses you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He just knows about the boneheaded things and all your problems. Can I tell you what? God doesn't care about your problems. But I had the keys. I'm driving. I have the keys on the passenger seat. I must have looked for those keys 30 times as I'm driving up to the mountains. Yeah, exactly. What? Why did she say what? Because the keys were right there. What do you think? They're going to fly out the window or something? You know what I mean? I'm not talking about 3 times. I'm talking about 30 times. Like, come on. You know what I mean? I'm driving, you know. Oh, where are the keys? Oh, there are keys. Oh, okay. Keys are there. Okay. Oh, keys are. Oh, keys are there. You know what I mean? Because here's what I'm thinking. If I get up to the mountains and she says, hey, guys, you know, I know you're different than me. You know what? But I've been known to go to the grocery store only to buy one thing. You just need milk. To come back, and I got Oreos, I got cupcakes, I got ho-hos, I got ding-dongs, I got all kind of good stuff. And my wife will look at me and say, where's the milk? Hello? What I'm saying is this, your imperfections, you know what? You know so well, and Satan just throws them at you and convinces you that, you know what? You can't go to Pharaoh. And I'm telling you today, you the man. You are the one who's God's called you to lead your family. You are the one that God's called you to step up at your high school, junior high, you know what? Where, you know, your workplace. You're the one to testify about the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? Yeah. You know, oftentimes people around you sometimes, they're the slowest to see your brilliance. I know this is true. Oh, my goodness. I have to come to the second service to get this. I'll just say what I remember. Vince Van Gogh, how many ever heard his name before? If you had a Van Gogh in your closet that you didn't know about, You have a lot of money right now. Pictures or paintings are worth millions and millions of dollars. You know that he died, and when he died, he literally couldn't sell any of his artwork. You know, they found, true story, you know, they found one of his paintings in a chicken coop used to cover the hole. Yeah, how many would like to own that chicken coop right now? Here's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, guys, please understand, other people might not recognize the specialness of who you are, but God recognizes the specialness of who you are.
That's good.
Amen? One of my best friends, you know what, and I'm in Bible college making some good choices, but making some bad choices too. And he would see me and he'd point and say, man, that's a man of God right there. That's a man of God right there. Can I tell you something? Sometimes nobody else will believe in you, but God believes in you. And you've got to shut the noise of Satan and all he is telling you, what you can't, what you can't, what you can't, what you can't do. Because let me tell you what, God is on your side. He has empowered you. He has given you the abilities. And not only that, but then he's planted that dream inside you. Who do you think planted that dream inside you? All right. So I'm living in Newport Beach. I'm going to one of those big churches. You know what I mean? And listen, I'm not. How many know big churches have some challenges? And I thank God for big churches. Amen. We're going to be a big church someday. Can you say amen to this? Yeah. Why do I say that? Because that's what God has called us to be. It is a calling on this church. So I'm not ripping on big churches. Big churches have some challenges. But I was going to a big church where if I showed up, you know what? Hey, look at the next person next to you and say hi. You know what I mean? Well, all the times I went to this church, I always said somebody hi to somebody new. Yes. It was never like, oh, I saw you last week. You know, my name's Drew. You know what I mean? Hey, no, it was always someone new. And if I didn't show up, I didn't get any call. Nobody knew. Nobody, you know what I mean? No, I mean, I could show up once a month and they were happy to see me. Amen? For all they knew, I was showing up every week, twice a week. They didn't know. There was no, anyway, so you understand what I'm saying. I was going to one of those, you know, big churches. I'm living in Newport Beach, have really almost no accountability. You need to be accountable to people around you, amen? How many know your flesh is crazy? Look at your neighbor and say, your flesh is crazy. Okay. Flesh is crazy, man. And no accountability, you know what I mean? And I lived in Newport Beach. I lived, on Clubhouse, which was right as you came over the bridge of Pacific Coast Highway. That's right. That's exactly where it is. Anyway, but I used to not like to go down to the end of the peninsula because there was really nothing down there. You know what I mean? And for whatever reason, I forget, but I was down at the end of the peninsula, and they had this movie theater. You have to Google this because they are not around anymore. But it had one, you know how many shows they showed? One. Amen. Everybody say one.
One.
What is that? Yeah, it's Google it. You'll see it. One show. And they had one of those old marquees that would light up. You know what I'm talking about? And I was walking and I looked up and it said, Miracle Service this Thursday. Miracle Service this Thursday. And for whatever reason, obviously I was led by the Spirit, but at the time I wouldn't say the Spirit is leading me. I just thought, I'm going to go to that Miracle Service. And I went. Well, when I went, you ever sleep on your neck wrong, you wake up, you're like, Well, that had happened to me. I was doing that for like a week. I couldn't get the thing out. It was very, very painful. And I wasn't even going to the miracle service to get, you know, healed necessarily. But I went, when I went, I had one of those things in my neck. And you know what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, how many know Jesus is our healer? Amen. You know what? I received my healing, and it was like gone, completely gone. Well, I went up to the pastor after the service, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. This pastor had a very, very, very small church. And he rented out that place for that Thursday, put it up there, and I saw it. And I went, and I was healed. But not only was I healed, but after the service, I went to him and I said, introduced myself to him. He said, you know what, I'm Pastor Tom West. I said, wow. And he said, gave me a card to come to his church. That next, it was a Friday service. They had Friday service. I went to his Friday service and that became my church. Why is that significant? Because I went from a church where I didn't know anybody, no accountability, kind of showed up whenever I felt like showing up, to coming to Pastor Tom's church, where if I didn't show up on Friday, he knew. He had my number. We were friends. He saw me in the grocery store. You know what? He was my friend. And why was that significant? Because at some point in time, Pastor Tom met Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill pastored Mesa Bible Chapel, Foursquare Church in Costa Mesa. When they merged churches, I started going to Pastor Tom's church and Pastor Bill's church. And I was introduced to the Foursquare denomination. Years later, Pastor Bill encouraged me to go to Life Bible College. At Life Bible College, I was preaching one of my first sermons. And I was talking about whatever, the healing power of God. And when I got done, I didn't even know this guy. And he came up to me and he said, you're a faith guy, aren't you? I said, I am a faith guy. Amen. How can anybody be a faith guy if they're a Christian? I don't even understand the question. But I knew what he was talking about, what I talked about last week, believers who don't believe. And I said, I absolutely am. And he introduced me to Pastor Bradford. Now, I could keep on going with this story. Oh, I will keep on going with this story. You know what? And Pastor Bradford taught me ministry. And then when the opportunity to pastor this church opened up, the Holy Spirit said, you the man. Amen? What's my point? What's my point? My point is, when you get to heaven, you know what? I want you to go up to Pastor Tom and say, Pastor Tom, I don't know what you were thinking. And who is Pastor Tom? Let me tell you about Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom is just some surf cat living in Newport Beach who understands the calling on his life. See, here's what we do. We think, you know what? I'm not a Pastor Tom. I'm not a Pastor, you know, Paul. I'm not a Pastor Drew. I'm not a Pastor Tamara. I'm just, you ain't just nothing. You're the person that God has called to minister to your circle of influence. That's who you are. And Pastor Tom, how much you think it costs to rent out that place, you know what, in Newport Beach for one night? I would say even back in the day, it was probably close to, you know what, maybe $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And it wasn't like he opened up the door and there was just the place was packed. I mean, you know, that Friday night, there was probably not even 50 people. And Tom could have walked away and said to his wife, you know what? What were we thinking, man? See, you don't know. That might have been, that $4,000 might have been everything that Tom had saved for the last 3 years. And the Holy Spirit said, see, we think we understand. Tom could have walked away and said, man, what was I thinking? I missed it. I would say, Tom, you did not miss it. Brother, you did not miss it. And I am worth every single penny that you sacrificed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, you've got to understand, your life doesn't belong to you. Your life, how many know we get all religious with this? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We do our curtsy and all bow and all this stuff. Religious junk, it means nothing. Amen? You know, wax on and wax off and all this stuff makes no difference. Amen? No, let me tell you about your life. Your life, Jesus gave, God gave everything to you. And you know what he expects? He expects everything back. Jesus says to the apostles, get in the boat. The Bible says he commands them to get in the boat. And we're like, you should talk nicer. You shouldn't talk that way to me. This is ridiculous. This is not Christianity. You know, there's no crying in baseball. There's no selfishness in Christianity. Listen, let me tell you what. You have no life. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Don't ask me to do that curtsy again, because I won't. Okay. You know what? You have no life. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I'm God's. Okay. But you know what? But does he have your time? Oh, I'll go one step further. Does he have your checkbook? Amen.
Your pastor, I don't know what you're talking about now.
Listen, that's what your life is. Your life is time, and your life is money. That's what life is. And your life doesn't belong to you. Not if you're a Christian. Now, you can be a phony Christian. Amen? Oh, hey. Can we dig a little deeper to somebody? You could be a Christian about what is hey, gads, you know what? I can own a Ford, amen, and rip the top off the Ford, rip the album off the Ford, and put a Bentley on there. You know what I mean? Right? What are you driving? I'm driving a Bentley, amen. How come your Bentley looks like a Ford? Amen. Can you say amen? How many know I can have that? I'm still driving a Ford. Amen. Can I tell you about God? Is not. Listen. And I understand. Yes. Ultimately, Jesus. Well, Jesus says, I'm not going to judge you. You know what he says, judge you? He says, the word is going to judge you. All that. Let me tell you what's going to happen. When Jesus comes back. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming back. When Jesus comes back, here's what he's going to do. You know what? He's going to shine a light. That's all he's going to do. He is the light. And the light is, you know what? All he's doing is looking and saying, oh, look. You're a sheep. Oh, look. You're a goat. He's not commanding, you're a goat, you're a sheep, you're a goat, you are. He's not making you a goat or making you a sheep. He is noticing, oh, look, you have a tie, amen? Did I put that tie on you today? Did I call your wife and say, hey, make sure he's got a tie today? Did I do that? No, I didn't do that. All I'm noticing is you have a tie on. That's all I'm doing. You have a vest on, you look sharp. I'm not making you look sharp. You are looking sharp. I'm just observing that. Does that make sense? That's all God's going to do. That's all God's going to do. God's just going to go, oh, you're a sheep. Oh, you're a goat. Amen. That's all he's going to do. He's just going to see. The light is going to be shown. Your life doesn't belong to you. And we have tried. And I understand it trying. How many feel, is Aaron, does you feel nice, comfortable? Do you got enough cush in your, I'm not talking about, you're like, well, pastor, you're doing this, what am I supposed to think? No, I'm talking about, is this cushy enough? Okay? You know what? See, we do everything we can in church to make, when you come in, You know what? The restrooms are clean. You know what? We serve coffee. You know what? We serve coffee for a dollar. Amen?
Amen.
Egads. You know, that's proof that we love you. Amen? All I'm saying, we try to do everything to make you feel comfortable. And that's as it should be. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. God really doesn't care about your comfort. Yeah, I didn't get too many amens on that. Huh, should I say amen to that? I don't think I should say amen to that. What I'm saying is, and he loves you and he cares about you immensely, but the main thing he cares about is developing your character. That's the main thing that he cares about. But in a church, many times, we just create this atmosphere. We hope you're comfortable. We hope you're comfortable. And I'm saying, you know what? That isn't the Christianity of the New Testament. The Christianity of the New Testament, listen to me very carefully. It is not comfort, but it is quality. It's not comfort, but it's satisfaction. It's not comfort, but it's holiness. It's not comfort, but it's making good choices that will have enormous positive consequence in your life. So what I'm saying to you is, what we have to recognize is our calling. And we have to stop thinking that there's some people are called and some people aren't called. That's inaccurate, completely inaccurate. You are called. You're called to lead your family. You're called to lead your church. You're called to be part of your church. Amen.
Amen.
That's your calling. We are doing an outdoor project. You don't know what that outdoor project is? When you get done from church, come on over here. Look outside on this wall, and you'll see what we're going to do. It is absolutely fabulous. It's going to cost $300,000, and that's without any furniture or without any video or audio. $300,000. You say, Pastor, why in the world would you spend $300,000? Do you have the McDonald's? Show us the McDonald's in Pico Rivera. Show us the McDonald's in Pico Rivera. Do you have it? Okay. How many recognize that as the McDonald's in Pico Rivera? Okay. How many don't recognize that as the McDonald's in Pico Rivera? If your hand up, Connie, why don't you recognize that as the McDonald's in Pico Rivera? What? Because they remodeled it. Amen? Completely remodeled it. How many know, man, that's a pretty nice building, wouldn't you say? How much do you think that they spent to remodel it? I guess it cost over $300,000. Easy. Somebody say easy. Show me the Del Taco in Whittier. Or Taco Bell. Well, yeah, how many recognize that? Okay. Come on, somebody say 49 cents. I was one Wednesday night, I had the kids, they were little. We went through the drive-thru. I thought I had my wallet. I didn't have my wallet. And we ordered, you know what? What would we order? We'd always order 49-cent tacos. I'm telling you what, I was, you know what? I'm like, oh, you know what? I'd ask Shayla. I'd set them up. Shayla, what do you want? Oh, I want this. And Megan, what do you want? I want this. And then taco, you know what? Or, you know what? She'd say whatever she wants. Tyler, what do you want? Oh, I want this and this and this. And then I'd get up to the thing. What would you like? I'd say, I want, you know, 30 tacos, you know, and 49-cent. They're done. My kids are like, ah. And then pretty soon they all knew. You know what? I said, hey, what do you want? And they're like, I want 4 tacos. Okay, good. Good. Yeah. And then, so whatever we ordered, you know what? We'd order. And Shayla, and what would we get to drink? Shayla, what would we get to drink? Shayla, what would we get to drink? Oh, wow. Well, I must have been in a good mood that day. I thought you were going to say water. I'd always get them water. Anyway. There you go. Okay, so that's right. So one Wednesday we're there, and you know what? And I don't have my wallet. Well, how many know for 49 cents you could probably scrape up some money on the floor and, you know, get enough. So I'm trying to scrape up some money. True story. But I'm waiting, shipping up the money. Some lady comes And she says, oh, no, I'll take care of it. I'm like, ma'am, I'm okay. She said, no, it's for the children. It has nothing to do with anything, amen, but I'm just telling you a story, okay. Actually, it does. It was that Taco Bell. How many recognize that Taco Bell don't look like that anymore? So, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. You know what? $300,000 is nothing. I could show you, why do you think Taco Bell does that? Why do you think, you know what, McDonald's does that? I could give you example after example after example. You know why they do that? Because, you know what? They want the millennials going to their Taco Bell. Yeah. That's what research says. Research says millennials, they care. They really, if they got this Taco Bell or a Taco Bell up the street that looks like the new, it's black and gray and white, it's totally cool. Guess what? They're going to go to the gray and black and white Taco Bell. Does that make sense? Listen, the businessmen will spend hundreds and thousands of dollars. Why? Because, why? For money. I would submit to you that lives of souls are worth way more than a profit margin. Amen? Somebody say amen to this. Listen, I'm not ripping on you if you've asked or thought that. I'm just training you and telling you why. Because the Holy Spirit, how many know the Holy Spirit is at least as smart as some businessman? Can you say amen?
Amen?
And let me tell you what, when the outdoor project is going to be spectacular, you know why? This is deep. And it will have a greater impact to our community than when we redid the sanctuary. You know why? This is deep. You know why? This is deep. Because it's outside. And people are going to drive by and they're going to go trip out. That looks like something that they'd have at, you know what, at Knott's Berry Farm. Can you say amen? And say, wow, that looks like something that they'd have at Disneyland. That is awesome. But how are we supposed to do it? Listen, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Somebody say, I'm the man. You know what? We've raised almost $100,000, right now. What does that mean? That means, watch this, if we just had, you're trying to be manipulative. I'm not trying to be manipulative. I'm just trying to be real with somebody. How is that, which we see, you know, when we went to the designers, you know what the designers wanted us to do? The designers wanted us to build that at a smaller scale than what we chose to build it. Why? Because he said, Pastor, I can't tell you how many beautiful plans I have of churches I got plans after plans after plans of all these beautiful things of pastors wanted to do, and they never did it. He said, why? I know why. I don't believe it's because the pastor missed it by the Holy Spirit that they had called them to build those things. I believe it's because, you know what? If we keep our life, we lose it. And these dreams were lost. If all we did is have 100 people, we have 100 people here right now, and we're going to have another service at 11, and we're going to have another service at 6 o'clock, a Spanish service. If all we had was 100 people, just 100 people, and each one of them gave $2,000, guess what? I would be on the phone. Let me tell you some facts. I've already got the design made. I already have the people lined up for the construction. I've already got someone who will donate all his time in building this. Now we have to pay for the people, his subcontractors, but you know, that's about 15% of the whole project. That is about $60,000 that this builder, who could do that and get $60,000, it's all already donated. I have all that lined up. I've already had him talk to the city and the mayor and the city planners, and it's already all okayed by the city. Now, we still have to pull the contracts and do it to specs and all that, but I'm saying the concept is already completely agreed by the city. If we just had 100 people who would give $2,000, we'd get it done. And I would call John this afternoon and say, John, what's your availability? We want to start construction right away. Pastor, I didn't think you were preaching that. Were you preaching that sermon to try to get this thing done? Okay, listen, that wasn't my motivation, and it's not my motivation. Here, my motivation is way more than that. I want to get that done and our next project done. I want to minister to your family. I want to minister to your schools. I want to minister. Listen, I want it all. I want us, we at this church need to raise up leaders, and we need to start saying, you know what? I am going to take responsibility for what God has called me to do. And if that means that I'm going to write a check for $2,000, write a check for $2,000. If that means write a check for $10,000, write a check for $10,000. If that means commit to $20 for the next, you know what, 8 weeks, do that. I'm not here to tell you what to do. Here's what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm saying. This is our responsibility. Not Tamara and I. This is our church. This is our responsibility. And you know what? There's some of you in here today. And when you walk in here today, and I understand you gave it to the Lord, you don't own it. You know what I mean? Like somebody said, you know what? I came to church the other day, somebody was in my chair. That's not your chair. So I understand. But listen, there's some of you who gave sacrificially that we could be in this room, and every single person who gets saved, every single person that gets healed, every single person who walks in here, and this is testimony of the goodness of God, listen, you get credit for. And God will give you credit, because he says if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly, but if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. God is paying attention to this stuff. What do I want you to do? I want you to do it all. I'm not the kind of pastor who will apologize and not say something. I'm not that kind of pastor. I'm the kind of pastor who's saying, listen, how is this going to happen? We're going to make it happen. Like I heard one pastor say, you know what, he said, we got this big project, it's going to cost, you know what, this much money. And I got bad news and good news. They said, what's the bad news? The bad news, he said, we don't got the money. And then they said, well, Pastor, what's the good news? And he said, the good news is you got the money. I don't know what it is. And for many of you, it could be finances. Some of you didn't ever even knew about that outdoor project. Mark, wave those commitment cards back there, okay? Do me a favor. If you give to the outdoor project, make sure you write on it, outdoor project. Outdoor Fellowship Hall, because I need to make that distinction, okay? And you can go back in the back. We had those back there for a long time, and you can do that. Your pastor, is that? No. Listen, I just want you to start to lead. I just want you to look at yourself in the mirror and start brushing your teeth and saying and understand you're the man. You're the one that's called to your household. You're the one who's called to show your kids what to do. You're the one who's been called to get, you know what, your kids to read your Bible every day. You're the one to lead your wife. That's you. How many are still glad you came today? Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you. If God has spoken to you in any way, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want you to acknowledge that God has had a word for you today. And I want you to acknowledge your willingness to be obedient to what he's asked you to do. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for these hands that are up all over. In Jesus' name, I thank you that we will be obedient. I thank you that if we're willing and obedient, we will eat the fat of the land. I thank you that you are not trying to manipulate us, but you're trying to minister to us. And I pray that we would put our trust in you fully in every area in our life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.